This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Hello, Falcoholics. What is up? Welcome to another episode of the Dirty Birds and Brews podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Knight, joined for the first time by Jamel Johnson. He is at KingJ25 on the Twitters. Jamel, welcome in, our newest contributor over at the Falcoholic. Welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Doing very, very good. My first time being on the show, Dirty Birds and Brews. I'm very excited. Joined the Falcoholic not too long ago, probably about a month ago, I'd say now. Got my foot wet a little bit. So definitely hitting the ground running. I got a few articles up already on the site, hoping to get some content published as well. Working on a short right now for the Bijan and Tyler running back duo. The article that I published. So hoping to get that out there as a short soon. And you guys can also follow me over on YouTube, Mel Got Game. I post a lot about the Falcons and NFL just in general too, with my shorts and my content over there. So yeah, I'm an Atlanta native. If you guys didn't know, went to Georgia State. Graduated from there in December, and I've been a long time Falcons fan, so I'm very excited to be on today for Dirty Birds and Brews.
Yeah, well, we're excited to have you. Thank you for making the time. I know we're squeezing this one in, and it's fortuitous because, you know, you've got the running back short coming. We're going to be talking about running backs today. We're going to be talking about quarterbacks today, getting into our roster preview series as we get geared up for training camp. So lots to cover here. Two very interesting groups, especially for the Falcons this year. So we'll be getting into that. Before we dive in, folks, real quick, bring you a word from today's sponsor, BetOnline. Folks, BetOnline is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season, from baseball, golf, soccer, right up to all the top fights in the UFC, MMA, and boxing. We did get a very dramatic end to the NHL yesterday, so no more NHL betting, but all that other stuff is still going, and just got a couple months. You'll have to tide yourself over until we get to the football once again. But in the meantime, guys, BetOnline's got you covered with every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, you can head on over to BetOnline's new online casino, which is very dangerous, but, you know, hey, you got to do what you got to do. You know, I got to be careful because they got that online blackjack. That's my weakness. They got poker, too, as well as over 150 slots games if that's your game. So no matter what you want to do, guys, you can head on to that website today, BetOnline, to get in on the action. Just remember to use our promo code BELIEVE. That's B-L-E-A-V. for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, the game starts here. All right, Jamel, I figure we'll start with the quarterbacks because I think the biggest question everyone wants to answer is, you know, will Michael Penix play in 2024? Obviously, Kirk Cousins is the starter, but what do you think the chances are that we see Michael Penix this year?
I think the chances, obviously preseason, you know, preseason going to come. Yeah. Kirk Cousins going to get a few drives and Michael Penix. We're going to see what he can do really in the preseason. But I say regular season, I think it's very slim chance. If we are a true contender, if we're hitting, you know, 10-7 and 11-6, you know, towards the end of the year, if we're a true contender, got our playoff spot locked down, I think he'll probably start maybe week 17 or 18. Outside of that, I don't see, unless Kirk Cousins just kind of just, he's not the Kirk Cousins that we know, and he does not perform well, we might be able to see just kind of like a Marcus Mariota, Desmond Ridder situation a few years ago, when Marcus Mariota, they benched him, and then Desmond Ridder got to start late in the season. Maybe could see something like that if Kirk does not perform. But outside of that, I don't really see Michael Penix getting a shot. I would love to see him, just see him, what he can do in the pros, just because there's been all the speculation, you know, he's his age, the injuries that he suffered in college, all that speculation. I really would love to see what he can do and what just the future of the Falcons, because the future, that is kind of the future of what the Falcons will be. And they kind of got some contingencies there when they got him in the draft. So I, like I said, I don't really see him playing, but yeah, that's kind of just my take on it. What about you?
Yeah, I agree. I think like we're unlikely to see him outside of injury, or like if they've locked up a playoff spot or something like that. Maybe, you know, if the Falcons are dominating some team, you know, we haven't seen a lot of that lately, but if they were to do that, maybe he could get in for a drive or two towards the end of a game. But yeah, I agree with you. It's unlikely that, I don't think the team feels like pressure to play him like they did with Desmond Ridder and Marcus Mariota, where it was clear that Mariota was a stopgap, and you know, they were sort of like waiting for the right opportunity to put Ridder in. Whereas with Penix, I think it's more measured. They're more likely to just sort of relax a little bit, wait till he's ready. And then, you know, I think they wanted someone in the wings ready to go if Cousins has to miss significant time, because he's not someone that has missed a lot of time in his career. But last year, tore his Achilles, right, and missed the second half of the season, and that more or less ended Minnesota's season. So I think the Falcons wanted more than a Taylor Heinicke level backup. And Penix obviously has the long-term sort of track that sort of makes sense for that. Now, obviously, we can probably argue till the cows come home about, you know, was it worth it there? Should we have gotten, like, a different pick that maybe could have played more this year and so on? We're not going to argue that on this show. That has been argued to death over the last several months. But Penix, I think, is a very high upside backup that if he did have to play this year, if something, you know, unfortunately were to happen to Kirk or what have you, that you would feel good about at least seeing what you got, getting him that experience, and not just sort of floundering around. And would he play great as a rookie? You know, who knows? But at least you'd be able to get something out of that, something interesting.
Yeah, I definitely think as well, in terms of like comparing him to Desmond Ridder, he's way high quality than Desmond Ridder. So like you said, I think he's a great high quality backup just in case something does happen to Kirk Cousins, whether that be skill related, he does not perform well, or injury related, whether he's just not able to go one game or two games or three games or whatever. And I think Michael Penix will probably also establish a good relationship early with Kyle Pitts and Drake London and Darnell Mooney and some of those younger guys in the pass group, Bijan Robinson, Tyler Allgeier. I think he'll probably establish a good relationship, and I think that's probably good, especially not really playing a lot this year, for those future years when he is integrated in as a starter. He already knows these guys. He already is familiar with them. They've established a rapport in practice and kind of got that chemistry going before we actually see it in practice or see it in game. So I think that'll probably be good for him, kind of just learning from Kirk Cousins, learning from that veteran mindset, but also at the same time establishing these relationships with his future, well, teammates right now, but his future kind of teammates who he's going to be throwing the ball to in the future with the Falcons. So I think this is going to serve as a really good learning experience for him. Not a lot of guys. I mean, obviously, they kind of wanted to do like the Jordan Love, Aaron Rodgers situation. But not a lot of guys can be able to really come in and get this experience from a veteran quarterback this early on in their career. A lot of quarterbacks who get drafted in the first round, they are either thrown into a terrible situation and they're not able to really get that good chemistry with their guys. The coaching is off. Not a lot of guys are able to be in this position that Penix is in and that Jordan Love was in a few years ago. And we saw how it happened for Jordan Love. Jordan Love, you know, is hopefully going to be one of the higher paid quarterbacks in the league. So I think if Falcons play it right, this could really be a big opportunity for them moving forward in the future years.
Yeah, I agree. And sort of what I come back to is like we could quibble over, was it the best value? Are they going to maximize the rookie contract? All that stuff. You could definitely, I mean, there's arguments, obviously, for all that stuff. But to me, it's like if you're going to take the risk and you're going to overinvest at one position, quarterback is the one to do it. Like quarterback is the one to take multiple shots on because it's really hard to overspend on the quarterback position because you have to get one. If you don't have one, you're just never going to be competitive. So, you know, we could always argue about, was this the right way to do it? But I can't really argue with, we're going to overinvest in quarterback because that I think ultimately isn't a bad idea. So we'll see how it plays out. But, you know, part of the other overinvestment at quarterback was of course giving Kirk Cousins a big contract. He's here to be the starter. So we should definitely talk about Cousins. What do you think? You know, it's very exciting, right? To have a quarterback, not on Matt Ryan's level, but to at least be like in the level of, you know, established fringe top 10 NFL quarterback that we haven't seen since Matt Ryan left. You know, how do you feel about Kirk Cousins coming into this season?
I love Kirk. So I've been a fan of Kirk Cousins for a while, ever since just his story, you know, going to Washington, getting drafted to Washington, what, in the fourth, fifth round. Obviously, they had already drafted RG3, so he knew he wasn't playing. You know, he knew he wasn't coming in playing. And there was any team that he went to, there was a low likelihood that Kirk Cousins was going to play out the gate. But he wanted a little bit more, obviously, coming in. You want a little bit more to try to have the ability to compete in preseason, to be able to compete for a starting spot in preseason, and to be able to show yourself to the coaches. Obviously, they put all their eggs in one basket with RG3. RG3 came in, had some injuries and everything like that, suffered from injuries his whole career. Kirk got the chance to start. So his whole kind of just story has always been interesting to me. And then going to Minnesota, taking what he learned in Washington and going to Minnesota and becoming that franchise quarterback that he always kind of wanted to be was very, very cool for me to see. And that's kind of where I kind of always just been a fan of Kirk. So when we got him, obviously that was the talk of Justin Fields and maybe getting a quarterback in the draft, which we still did. Kirk Cousins was kind of like I wasn't even thinking about Kirk Cousins. And then it happened. And I was like, whoa. Obviously, we did overpay for him a little bit. He late 36-year-old quarterback kind of only has probably like 3 to 4 years left. Quarterbacks now are typically playing to 40, 41, just in terms of like keeping your health up. And from watching like the quarterback series last year, Kirk is a quarterback that does take care of his body. He does eat well. He does try to do all those things to preserve his longevity, which I think will serve him well this season and will serve him well in terms of bouncing back from this injury, because that's what you need. You need a quarterback that's going to be able to be available. You need a quarterback that's going to be able to just be on the field for your guys to lean on, because you don't want a lot of switching around, you know, in terms of throughout the season. You want your quarterback. If anybody's going to be available, you need your quarterback to be available. You can have a running back miss a game or two. You can have a receiver miss a game or two, but quarterback kind of always needs to be there to establish that consistency. So like I said, I was very excited when we first got him, just in terms of the outlook. I think this could be a pretty good season. And the thing about Kirk, he's very hungry. He only has one playoff win under his belt. That season when Minnesota went to the playoffs, 2022, I believe, and they lost to the Giants. You know, I wasn't expecting a blowout, but I definitely was expecting Minnesota to pull that one out. And would they have went far? You know, who knows? But I definitely was expecting Minnesota to pull that one out. And just they struggled all game. You know, it wasn't to where they had some type of control. Giants really came in there and kind of controlled from the start. So the thing about Kirk is, like, he's hungry. And I think that will play well to his advantage and for this team. that you got a veteran quarterback who hasn't won a lot, who wants to be in that conversation of top five, top 10 quarterbacks. Because if it wasn't for Patrick Mahomes, if it wasn't for Josh Allen, if it wasn't for Joe Burrow, we might be talking about Kirk Cousins in the MVP conversation. We might be talking about Kirk Cousins in that top five conversation. So just in terms of competing with all that young talent in the league, all that mobility, all that, you know, just dynamic ability that a lot of these quarterbacks are coming into the league now with, it's going to be interesting to see how he takes that and brings it over to Atlanta. So I'm, like I said, I'm very excited.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I think Kirk raises the floor and the ceiling of this offense. Maybe the floor even more than the ceiling in a weird way, but like it just provides so much consistency. And that's typically what you're going to get from Kirk, is he's a very on schedule quarterback. He's very smart with the football. He's going to get the ball out. He's not mobile. He doesn't do a lot of stuff off schedule, but he's very good at avoiding sacks by just getting rid of the ball. He knows how to throw it away. He knows when pressure's coming and where and that he needs to hit the hot route and that sort of stuff. And that's something that we really saw Desmond Ridder in particular struggle with, was he just didn't process it fast enough when the blitz was coming. And the offensive line, a lot of young pieces didn't necessarily pick up the blitzes great either. Yeah. So, you know, it was kind of a tough situation, obviously. But Kirk is going to typically keep the team on schedule, keep the play where it's supposed to be. He's not going to be the Mahomes scramble out of the pocket, launch a, you know, 50-yard laser down the field, and do, that's just not his game. He's not an off-schedule quarterback. He's an on-schedule quarterback, so that, you know, means that the offense needs to be good. Obviously, we're hoping that Zach Robinson will provide that. Like, there'll be a good structure for him to work with. Cousins is really familiar with that offense, and honestly, Cousins has worked in a lot of offenses over the years, so he just has a wealth of knowledge about it. But, you know, coming from the Kevin O'Connell offense, he played in the Shanahan offense in Washington. I mean, this is not anything that he's not used to. The terminology, I'm sure, will have some tweaks to it, but he should be comfortable stepping into this offense. Are the weapons as good as Minnesota? You know, just because Minnesota had Justin Jefferson, you probably have to say no. But I think if you look at the breadth of the Falcons' weapons, it's not that far off from Minnesota. I mean, I think Justin Jefferson, TJ Hawkinson, and Jordan Addison is a very good top three, but I think we could see Drake London, Kyle Pitts, and Darnell Mooney potentially be just a step below that. You know, with Justin Jefferson being the best weapon in the NFL, it's kind of hard to match that. So you're not really going to realistically be able to do that. But I do think that it's a good situation for Kirk. I think he's going to have a great time in this offense, and you know, hope he needs a good offensive line, which he didn't really get much in Minnesota. And I think the Falcons will be providing him with a much better offensive line. And I think that's going to help a lot too. So it's definitely good to have that. I'm excited about Kirk. I think he definitely gives this team a much better chance to compete week in and week out, even against good defenses. That just like when Ridder went up against a good defense, it was just, it was going to be bad. Just, he just couldn't process. He couldn't figure out the coverages. And it's a big step coming from college, where the defenses just don't have the ability to disguise to the level that the NFL does, to the NFL, where it's like, oh my God, what is happening back there? This is a nightmare. Like it's going from, like, you know, rookie to all Madden mode all at once. It's like, oh my God, they're running. Okay. I can't do this anymore. So definitely feel for Ridder. It's a tough transition, but Kirk will be able to bring that stability and hopefully allow Penix to sort of acclimate a little bit to that differences in the NFL. But any words on Heinicke or John Paddock, the fourth quarterback, before we move on to running backs?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I think Heinicke will be like he was last year, you know, when Ritter wasn't playing well. Come in, he can give you something. He can give you, and I was a fan of Heinicke back when the Washington played Buccaneers in the 2020 playoffs going into 2021 Super Bowl. I was a fan because he really kept Washington in that game.
Yeah,
really did. He gave Tom Brady, it was looking scary for Tom Brady in his first year with the Bucs that game, going on the road playing them. But yeah, I mean, I've been a fan of Heinicke too, so I really like Heinicke. Like I said, he can come in and kind of give you something. Just kind of stay stable for the most part. Like if you need your team to stay afloat, I feel like he's kind of one of them. And Pattis, I'm not sure. I mean, that's was fourth quarterback on the depth chart, right?
So practice squad type of guy. Yeah,
practice squad. Yeah. So I'm not really knowing too much about him. So like I said, just Heinicke. I feel like if worst comes to worst, you know, if you need to keep your team afloat, I feel like that would be worst case scenario. But I'm okay with Heinicke for the most part. So yeah.
Yeah. I think Heinicke's a solid backup. I obviously the offense didn't really help any quarterbacks last year, so it's hard to draw too many conclusions from that. But, you know, it's obviously interesting that they're basically giving, you know, money to three quarterbacks at this point. You know, Michael Penix Jr., cheap for a quarterback, but still making a decent amount because he's a top 10 pick. Heinicke did agree to that pay cut in exchange for basically guaranteeing the rest of his salary. So he's probably not going anywhere. They don't really have any financial incentive to move on from him now. So they'll have a three quarterback room. It'll be a strong overall quarterback room. So if Penix isn't ready, Heinicke can step in as the backup. I think the team is just trying to make sure that they don't go from like Cousins to Josh Dobbs, you know, or whatever. Like, and I love Josh Dobbs, but it's clearly that was not a great fit for his skill set in Minnesota with the way they wanted to do things. Yeah. So we don't want to go from like that to, oh my God. So hopefully it'll be a little bit more stable, and if Penix needs to play, hopefully he's ready. But if he's not, Heinicke will be ready to step in. So
running
back, another very exciting position group for the Falcons. We got to start obviously with Bijan Robinson, and he's so exciting. I hope that we're gonna see this team take on some of what the Rams did last year, which was incorporate a lot of man concepts, a lot of duo, a lot of stuff like that, where I think Bijan could be really good at that. Whereas, you know, if he gets a one-on-one with a linebacker, he gets, you know, they take out those guys and it's just him one-on-one with that middle linebacker in the hole and he just sidesteps him. I mean, that could be a touchdown. Like, that's the thing about man concept runs is like, you're going straight up the middle. You know, it's dangerous, right? It's scary times for the defense. So it's also, he could be playing a lot more snaps, which I think everyone would love, not just playing the snaps, but also getting the carries. Because last year you look at Algier and Bijan's snap counts and it looks like Bijan's playing the majority, way more snaps. And it's true. But in terms of carries, he only got about 20 more carries than Algier did. So, I know you've been working on this for a short too, but yeah. What do you think about Bijan this year and what his workload could look like at the end of the day?
Yeah. For Bijan, like you said, the man concept runs, I really want to see those because when I feel like Bijan is kind of in the hole, I feel like the game slows down for him, you know, just going one-on-one with the linebacker, going one-on-one with the down safety. I think it kind of, like I said, slows down for him. Like, I think he's processing in that split second, like that very split second, which way he wants to go. And because of that, because he can process that so quickly, everything that you know as a tackler, everything that you kind of have been taught goes out the window because you're taught from rec league to break down, take the right angle, shoulder to hip, you know, that's what you're taught. And because Bijan is so quick and with his decision-making in the hole, you kind of just, you have to be even quicker on your toes as a defender. And a lot of defenders don't have that. A lot of linebackers don't have that with a lateral movement. And Bijan is so good laterally. That's what I hope that the Falcons play a little bit more into. I feel like that's what we didn't see a lot with Arthur Smith. Arthur Smith, obviously he was there with Derrick Henry, and he wanted to kind of create that bell cow running back scheme to where, you know, just kind of north-south ability, you know, just kind of bulldozing defenders. That's not really Bijan's game. Bijan is more so get to the boundary, kind of shifty agility, lateral movement. So I really want to be able to see him do a lot more of that. Just watching his college tape, he was hitting the hole, and like you said, making that split decision against a linebacker, boom, he's gone, touchdown. That's 30-yard touchdown, right? So I want to see a lot more of that, and I feel like that ability could set up a little bit more for Tyler Allgeier coming in on second and short and being able to, because Tyler Allgeier is that back that can go north and south. He's that back that can go inside zone, power runs straight at a linebacker, straight at a down safety, and kind of bulldoze his way into those first down markers. And we saw a lot of runs where he also has some agility with him too. But we saw a lot of runs where he straight ahead running and he kind of got lost a little bit, and then boom, you can see him coming out of the crowd and a touchdown. So I really like, hopefully we saw like, or we've seen that Christian McCaffrey is kind of going to be a basis for what Bijan is going to hopefully bring to this team next year. And I don't want them to hopefully, I don't want them to just mirror it specifically what Christian is doing. I want them to play into Bijan's role, play into Bijan's strengths, and use kind of how they use Christian McCaffrey and what they're doing over there and the schemes that they're running, and kind of mirror it a little bit with Bijan, but playing into his strengths, if that kind of makes sense. Like I said, I don't want to mirror, because I feel like that could probably be detrimental to his game, just kind of trying to make him a new Christian McCaffrey in Atlanta. Just make him similar, run some schemes, and make him the first Bijan Robinson for Atlanta. So, like I said, I feel like his rookie season was kind of marred a little bit from what Arthur Smith wanted to run and his concepts. It wasn't really compatible. And I think this year coming into with Zach Robinson, obviously Zach Robinson was more so in the pass game, but obviously he's coming from Sean McVay, who is an offensive guru. And that second year for Kyren Williams was, he was a monster that second year. So now Bijan coming into his second year, that could be way better for him. And I feel like just kind of the whole thing, it's kind of like a full circle moment for me, because back in Washington, you had Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay. They were, and then obviously Mike Shanahan, dad.
Yeah, the whole team was there basically. Yeah, there's like a picture of them all.
Right? The whole thing. And then Sean McVay goes to Los Angeles, and then brings in Zach Robinson. And now Zach Robinson is coming back full circle to Atlanta, who's now coaching Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins was coached by Sean McVay. So it's like a whole full circle moment. So I think this is going to be really crucial for this offense. And I think it's going to hopefully work like a well-oiled machine, and definitely be good for Bijan in his second year.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, with Bijan, it's like, I feel like Bijan's like Kyren Williams with a power-up mushroom. You know, it's just like, it's just like, whoop, you know, because Kyren, the thing with him was like, the 40 was not good at the combine. And as everyone knows, like the 40 is the least important time for the running back. Cause it's like, it's rare that you get to that 40 speed. It's really just the breakaway runs. And exactly. That's just not that big of a part of your game. But like Kyren's small, you know, and not overly fast, but he was quick. He had great vision. Elusive, that sort of stuff. Bijan's like that, except he is fast, he is big, like it's like he checks all the boxes. So you know, and that's why Bijan was, you know, top 10 pick, right? But
yeah,
basically to say that the Falcons could use Bijan the exact same way the Rams used Kyren Williams, and you would expect more from Bijan as a result. You would expect him to do more than Kyren Williams did, which fantasy heads would be really happy to hear. But you know, the Rams used, they were very good about just featuring their players. Like they used their top running back about 80% of the time, 75 to 80% of the time when he was healthy. They didn't really take him out of the game much. And the same with their top receivers and top tight end. They basically used those guys 70%+ of the time. And with the receiver, they would rotate like a fourth receiver occasionally for certain packages. But most of the time it was the three guys, the one running back and the one tight end. And you know, we could, I'm sure the tight end show will probably get into like, is Kyle Pitts going to be lined up as the tight end or the receiver? Maybe both, you know, depending on the play. But they're going to do that, and that's going to be good things for Bijan, I think, where he's just going to be out there a lot and have a lot of opportunities. The only thing with Bijan is, like, just need the pass pro to improve. He was a very good pass protector in college. It's a different beast in the NFL, so it just takes time. Mm-hmm. I'm not concerned. You know, he's big. He's smart. He was very comfortable with it in college. I'm not concerned about that being an issue, but that's the only thing that could potentially – still cause problems is they're going to want to play him every snap. They're going to need him to improve his pass pro. I'm sure he's working on it. The thing about the Arthur Smith scheme is it was just too predictable. Like, it was just outside zone, like spam outside zone. Yeah. And it's like, sometimes that works in Madden, right? If they can't stop it, but Falcons just like they didn't have the passing game threat to make it where they could just run outside zone and teams couldn't really deal with it. Like, they just didn't have the threat to keep teams from just sitting on the outside zone. And the Rams, to their credit, like, were one of the most diverse run games in the NFL. I think they ran like duo at one of the highest rates. They ran man concepts about half the time. They ran zone about half the time. They ran inside, outside, you know, almost equally. Like, they split up their runs, you know, off center, off guard, off tackle, like pretty much evenly, like around 30 to 35% for each one. So very diverse, very tough to predict. And I think that was really the key, because like Bijan's obviously good at wide zone, but you would see plays where he would get the handoff and you would just see the linebacker sprint to the edge, like just sprint out. And it's like, we just know what's coming. Like, there's just, there's only so much you could do. So, I think just the nature of diversifying the scheme and adding the passing game threat is going to help a lot there. And you mentioned Tyler Allgeier as well. He's going to have a role. I don't think it's going to be a big one, but he is a critical player because this team is going to lean on their top running back, whoever that is, right? And if Bijan has to miss any time, Tyler Allgeier is just going to assume that role because he can do everything Bijan can do. He can pass protect. He was actually one of the best pass protectors in the NFL last year. He can catch. He's not particularly fast, but he can catch. He has good hands. We've seen that plenty of times. And he can run outside zone, inside. He can do power stuff effectively. So he's like, you know, a less athletic version of Bijan. But he could just assume the role of RB1 if Bijan has to miss time. And that's his role. You know, and that's why I've cautioned people, like in fantasy, if you're taking Allgeier, you're basically taking him as like a handcuff or like a stash because he's not going to have standalone value this year. But he does have an important role. And he will be critical to this team if Bijan has to miss time. And that's why, like, they're not going to trade him. They're not going to do anything. He's not making that much money. And we know he can be trusted to carry the load if needed. We've seen it. Had 1,000 yards. You know, he can do it. He's not necessarily dynamic, but very well-rounded. Can do everything you need. I love Tyler Allgeier. Don't mean to slander the man not doing that. Just, I don't think it's slander to say, like, Bijan Robinson is, like, a one-of-one player. And Tyler Allgeier is a good running back like that. I don't think that's slander, but maybe some people might think that, but mad respect to you, Tyler. But in terms of the rest of this running back group, it's obviously we have Avery Williams, hopefully back healthy. Jace McClellan comes in the draft and we have Carlos Washington Jr. returning from last year's practice squad. And then we have Robert Burns, who don't know too much about, but did join the team this offseason. You know, I have to think that Avery Williams is going to be around as one of the top return guys. And then Jace McClellan, we haven't seen much yet because he's still rehabbing from a pre-draft injury, but you have to think he's in the mix too. What do you think about the remaining running backs in this roster and how does this sort of shake out?
Yeah, I think it's some good depth, honestly. Like you said, if something happens to Bijan, something happens to either Tyler. I think we have some good depth. I think we have some backs that can come in and maybe you're not going to rely on them for, you know, 12, 13 carries a game. But if you have that good passing game that we're hopefully going to have this year, maybe we could lean on that. You know, maybe we could lean on that a little bit more if something were to happen to Bijan. Because obviously, if something happens to Bijan, Tyler has to step up. That means Avery Williams has to step up. That means, you know, some other guy has to step up. And everybody's going to get some more carries at that point. So, like I said, I think we have a good depth running back group in terms of just being able to go out there and give us something to where if you get five carries a game, make that the best five carries that you're going to get. Like make the most of it. Go out there, get 5 yards, get 6 yards. And I think because of hopefully this good passing game that we're going to have can open up some play action as well. But just the running game that we have, I think it's going to open up a lot of good play action if we use Tyler Allgeier and Bijan, right? And hopefully if, like I said, one of them goes down, we have that depth to come back. I think we'll see it in training camp. I think we'll see it when some of the joint practices start happening and during preseason. Hopefully we get a little bit clearer picture of how the running back group is going to shape out. But like I said, I hope play action is going to be a really, really good thing for us this year because it can confuse a defense. I mean, if you have a defenders overcommitting to the run, that's going to open up so much in the pass game. And we have Drake London. We have Kyle Pitts. We have Darnell Mooney. Like, we have those guys that we can get the ball to, and we've seen how good they can be at their highest point. So, like I said, I really hope just the running game is going to elevate this offense, because we haven't – I feel like we truly haven't had, like, a good running game for a while since, like, Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman. And it's hurt us. It really has hurt us. Like you said, the predictability on offense is just – which is so one-dimensional, and it hurts. It hurts to see it, because I know how good we have been in the past. And like I said, Tyler Allgeier, he had like the quietest 1,000-yard season I've ever seen. He really did. And like, it was just like, he was like 80 yards away, 80, 90 yards away, and he got it. And I was like, oh, Tyler Allgeier got 1,000 yards. It was just so like random, spur of the moment. And that, over that course of the season, like, he came in for Cordell Patterson. He was already playing, getting some snaps, but he came in for Cordell Patterson. He became that starting running back. He wasn't really getting the carry, or he wasn't really getting the production that he wanted it to be at the beginning. But towards the end, he started finding his groove. And like you said, he can do all the things that Bijan does, just like a less athletic version, just like a less skilled version of Bijan. Because Bijan is a jack of all trades. He can do it all. And I think Tyler Allgeier last year, he definitely kind of the team was losing their identity over the course of the season already. So I think that kind of just played into Tyler Allgeier not really having the production kind of value season he wanted to have last year. But I think this is a really, really good running back group. I think they're going to lean on each other to, you know, just make each other better, make each other stronger over the course of the season. Obviously, running back is probably one of the harder positions in the league now in general, just because, you know, the longevity of the back is not how it used to be. You know, a lot of teams are not really just discarding their backs after 5 years, 6 years, and the production value the line goes down for their production value at that point. So the peak is very short now for running backs. And I think all these running backs kind of being so young in their careers, we have like a very young group. I think it's hopefully going to be good for us moving forward. So.
Yeah. I think one of the keys to this team taking off and being better than expected is Bijan sort of assuming the mantle of like, this is the best running back in the NFL. Like, and I think it's absolutely in play for him. And I'm excited to see it. I just think like there was so little chance for him to do that. And Allgeier too, you know, we saw Allgeier's efficiency plummet last year because the offense just, it sort of ran out of answers and it was just, well, we're going to spam outside zone. That's all I got. And like, it was obviously a tough situation for everyone. So this is not the pile on Arthur Smith party. We're just sort of giving context to stats. And I think they're going to have a really strong running back group. I'm interested to see who the fourth running back is, whether that's, you know, because Avery Williams is going to make it as the returner, assuming he's healthy. Yeah. So maybe Williams is like the fourth running back in terms of he's probably going to be fourth on the depth chart, but he's going to be active as a returner. So, but whether it's Jace, whether it's, you know, Carlos Washington, who's stuck around, don't know much about Robert Burns, but we've seen UDFA running backs make it on this team before. Wouldn't be surprising. So definitely gonna be interesting to follow that group in camp and preseason and see how that shakes out. But Jamel, really appreciate your time. This is a fun couple groups to break down, guys. He's Jamel Johnson, newest contributor at The Falcoholic, at KingJ25 on the Twitters. Anything else you want to plug? Anything else you want to let people know about before we sign off?
I think I'm good. I think I'm good. I just hoping for a really, really good 2024 season for the Falcons. We have been struggling for a long time. Hoping to kind of get back on track. I've been looking forward to just something to root for, you know, in the fall. Obviously, Hawks, you know, not really that good either. Braves, really, really good. But, you know, Asuna tore his ACL again. So that's tough. But, you know, I really am looking forward to this season, looking forward to just going to games, you know, reporting on games. It's my first year actually, you know, physically reporting on games, writing and stuff like that. So definitely excited and just, you know, look out for some more content soon. Yes, sir.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, we're kind of lost in the desert. We've been lost in the desert ever since Matt Ryan left. And I think I see an oasis over there. It could be a mirage. You know, we've been fooled before. So hopefully it's a real oasis this time. We'll get some water and we'll get this team going the way it should be. But guys, he's Jamel Johnson. I'm Kevin Knight at Falcoholic. Kevin, thanks for joining us on today's Dirty Birds and Brews. Please like, subscribe, leave that 5-star review on your podcast platform of choice. Sign up on the Patreon if you want to support the show. Sign up on the channel memberships on YouTube. The Falcoholic Fantasy Leagues, going to be starting soon there. All you got to do to get in on those is join up at either the Patreon or the channel memberships. We had 3 leagues last year. We'll see if we need a fourth this one. We'll see. A lot of fun. We got cool prizes. You get to play with myself. Maybe Jamel, if he wants to join. You
know, oh, yeah. I love him.
Yeah. but yeah, lots of fun there. So check that out. We'll be back, of course, next week. No Wednesday shows the week of July 4th or the week after, as both Adon and I are going to be out taking our final vacays before training camp. So we will be doing that. But we will have these roster previews coming out, I think two a week or something like that. So you'll have content to digest. Don't worry. The content must flow. We know this. But in the meantime, enjoy your summer, guys. Enjoy your July 4th. We will see you next time on Dirty Birds and Brews. Have a great day, folks.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.